The organist and composer Paul Mons was born in Cleveland, Ohio in May of 1919. This month on The King of Instruments, we've been taking some time out to recognize this influential musician and his legacy at 100 years. In early 1974, faculty and students at Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis opted to leave the school and form a new seminary. This transpired because of disagreements over church and seminary leadership and over theological debates that had been taking place for some time. David Abrahamson, pastor of St. Luke's Lutheran Church in Chicago, was one of those students, and he tells us a bit about that conflict.
In 1974, there's a lot of discussion about what to do, centering around the inquiries, or some would call the inquisition, that was going on by the Seminary Board of Control around President John Teach. And so when February rolled around and he was suspended, both the student body and the faculty were prepared then to call a moratorium and eventually walk off campus and continue education at St. Louis University, Eden, and getting our diplomas finally from LSTC in Chicago.
Mark Bangert, who is eventually the music director of St. Luke's Lutheran in Chicago, was teaching at Concordia at the time.
It was at this point that the student body, who was very much involved in all of the shenanigans that were going on over a period of two or three years before that, the student body said, okay, we're not going to classes until you tell us which professors are teaching heresy. And that sort of shut the whole institution down for a month. I lived on campus in a faculty house on campus, and I was served notice that I had to be out of my house in 30 days, and my job was terminated. So that then caused a kind of symbolic walkout, which is many times misinterpreted these days by saying we walked off the campus. We would rather say we were kept out of our vocations from the building, and we were forced off the campus.
Now, because this was nothing new in terms of this developing break with Missouri, there were others who were making preparations against a bad outcome, meaning when President Teach was suspended, what would the faculty and seminary do? So while it looked like, oh, we just walked off of the campus to St. Louis University, there was work that had gone on very quietly that had this all pretty much wrapped up and ready to go if needed. So some of the myth needs to be replaced with the reality that we didn't, in 2 months, all of a sudden make arrangements to go to St. Louis University in Eden and whatnot. That had been in the works because there was some thought that, you know, this was going to happen. And so we continued. Obviously, that led to all of them eventually being fired, the rest of us being tossed out of, you know, the dorms, either come back and behave yourself or get out. So, you know, we all moved out in the spring, found housing somewhere around St. Louis U, and continued education, and then graduated with a strange degree that has Lutheran School of Theology, and it's awarded in conjunction with the adjunct faculty of Concordia Seminary in exile. Very interesting.
And believe it or not, we never lost a paycheck. I never had to go without a paycheck.
At the time, Paul Mons was teaching at Concordia Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota, but he was not unfamiliar to the St. Louis Seminary.
He would frequently come down. He'd fly him down for events and for big services. While this was going on, we would frequently have huge services at Christ Church Cathedral. And he would come down and play the Skinner. And he would come elsewhere to do big services. So he was pretty much connected. He'd be around maybe 3-4 times a year.
Along the way, he was also doing hymn festivals and had done them in St. Louis and all over. It was an ongoing kind of thing as he was introducing this kind of fun experience for people.
Scott Hislop studied with Paul Mons and has published a biography of the musician.
When a group of faculty and students broke off to form their own seminary, one of Paul's sons, John, was part of that. And Paul chose to use the hymn festivals as fundraisers to support Christ Seminary Seminex. So Paul began going around the country playing hymn festivals as fundraisers through this. And the Christ Seminary folks had their own PR department and had their own management and that, so they really developed it. So he was playing tons of hymn festivals at that point in time.
When we moved to Minneapolis in the fall of 1978, this issue was really, really hot.
John Ferguson was a professor at St. Olaf College and director of music at Central Lutheran Church in Minneapolis.
At that point in time, Paul had been fired as a professor at Concordia College here in St. Paul, now called Concordia University, but Concordia College, where he was chair of the music department, because his theology wasn't pure. And what that means, I don't know. I am told that the real specific precipitant was his continuing support of his son, who had been going to a Missouri Synod seminary and decided to leave that seminary and join a group of folks who were in what they called the seminary in exile, or Seminex. And when his son was ordained, Paul played the service. And that was too visible an act for the powers that be at Concordia University. And so Paul was fired.
The Missouri Synod Church came down hard on Paul Mons because he was doing hymn festivals all over for other denominations. And it was a very sad, sad time.
David Sherwin is the current cantor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Minneapolis.
He was a man of great principle, and but non-confrontive. You know, he just, this is where I will be, and this is where my commitment lies. But I think there was some pretty ugly things that he bumped into, being locked out of an organ because they didn't want him to play, and things that were very hurtful that he would never want to talk about. So, and then the publishing house, who had all his publications, were not going to reprint his publications anymore and just let the supplies dwindle and be done. And so he had to, as he said, it's not my style, but I had to hire an attorney to get them back. In other words, they had a lawsuit and to get the copyrights back. But he did get the copyrights back, and then that's when Morningstar Music Publishers started, where his works could continue to be published.
Mark Lawson is president of ECS Publishing Group, which includes Morningstar Music.
I think the history of Morningstar really is partly the history of Paul Mons. Rodney Schrank, who was the editor at Concordia when that happened with Paul, and Paul was able to get his copyrights back, and he was able to get some people from Minnesota to help finance the purchase of the inventory that he needed to get back from Concordia. He did that around the same time that Rodney Schrank was leaving Concordia. And so Rodney started Morningstar. It owes its life to Paul Mons. It would not have existed, really, I don't think, because starting a publishing company is very, very difficult for composers to want to invest. I always think of composers as being a little bit like our stockholders, because they're putting something into the company, and it's an investment on their part, and hoping that it will pay off for them. So for a composer to do that with a new company is rather, particularly established composer, it's risky. So for them to see that Paul Mons' things were here, I think gave them the comfort of saying, then mine, I'm going to be okay too, you know, so I'm willing to do that.
In the early 2000s, Rodney Schrank, the founder of Morningstar Music, interviewed Paul Mons for a potential biography. Here's Paul Mons himself speaking on one of those recorded interviews.
Well, first of all, I would say I'm terribly grateful for the experiences I've had and the support I've had from friends and particularly my family and Ruth. I'm very grateful for that. Without that kind of support, I don't think I could have done too much. But you have to be able to be free as a bird in order to create. And you can't be encumbered with details of obligations that you must fulfill in order to do your work, because the more you are encumbered, the less you do. And so I'm very grateful for the friends.
Today you've heard the voices of David Abrahamson, Mark Bangert, David Cherwin, John Ferguson, Scott Hislop, Mark Lawson, and Paul Mons. I'm Brent Johnson. Thank you for listening.